Of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. We're about to embark on another ship that you see behind me. We've traversed several of them already. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 6. Luke, chapter number 6. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 6. All right, everybody, Gospel Luke chapter 6, say amen. Any old me's? Brother Duffy said amen because he heard Green Bay's winning, amen. All right, the Gospel Luke chapter number 6, we're going to start reading in verse 46 and down to 49, capturing this towards the end of the chapter. And we'll talk a little bit about the chapter here. And then we'll talk about the ship here in a few moments as well. But Luke chapter 6 and verse 46 through 49. And here we go. Read with me together. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the floods arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. I was going to say, and that was great ruin, amen. Ruin of the house was great, and great ruin are both the same, amen. In Luke's gospel here, Jesus Christ is portrayed as the Son of Man, emphasizing his compassion and his humanity. And page after page, you find Luke detailing Jesus Christ and his compassion. As we explore another ship to abide in today, today's ship, you're going to find it down there in verse 46. He says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Which ship would that possibly be? The third one down, the Lordship. The Lordship. The ownership that we talked about last week had the idea of being God's own personal property or God's personal possession, of which you and I are. The lordship, on the other hand, deals more with the unlimited ruling authority or the sovereign power of God over our lives. The definition then of lordship would be this: the unlimited authority of a sovereign or a ruler. Say that again, the unlimited authority of a sovereign or ruler, or the one who has power or authority over something. Say, preacher, does Jesus Christ have lordship over my life? That's a question you have to answer. That's a question you have to answer. Amen. You can have a lot of subjects in the kingdom, and although the Lord may have the authority over them, they may rebel against that authority. The Lordship, we're going to talk about that today. Father, bless now the next moments that we have today as we embark upon this Lordship, this ship that we're in, that where you have unlimited authority and sovereign power over our lives. Lord, I do pray that you would use this time to open our eyes and help us to see what type of a shipmate we are. Lord, help us to see if we're bucking against the master of the ship. Help us to see if we're riding along doing that which you would have us do as our Lord, or are we about ready to abandon ship, or are we about ready to have mutiny on the ship? Lord, I do pray that you would guide and guard our hearts and our minds, that we might hear what we need to hear, and that our lives would be receptive, our spirit would be your spirit, and Lord, that our minds and our hearts may be renewed by the word of God, and we might hear something that can make us better sailors in the Lordship. I thank you so much for loving me, for saving me, Lord, and many others under the sound of my voice that have accepted you as Christ and Lord and Savior. But Lord, for those that have not accepted you as Lord, I pray that you would work in their hearts and help them to see they need to be saved. They must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so, Lord, work in our midst. Help us to be assured that we are saved and then that we are in the Lordship, and we're in good standing doing that which you would have us to do. Lord, fill me with thy spirit. Help me to speak, thus saith the Lord today. Lord, may a heart be changed and may a life be challenged. Lord, at the end of the day, may we say it's been good to be in the house of God. May we leave differently than when we came in. And Lord Jesus Christ, may you be uplifted and magnified by what I say, and that our hearts would be lifted towards thee. You said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself, Lord. And so we want to lift up you, Lord Jesus, today, that people may see you in their lives as Lord, ruler, and master. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Meet our need now. Many are the needs in this congregation, and I cannot fill them, but Lord, you can. And through your word, minister to each need that is here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Brother Fred and Mariah are going to sing.
This world is not my home, I'm just passing through. All my treasures and my hopes are just beyond the blue. Yes, the angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. A robe of white and pure delight, love and beauty. Expected me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now onward I go. He takes me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Eternal days, unending praise, Savior smile. His words well done. There is no night, for God is light, need for moon or sun. Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? As the angels beckon me from heaven's open door,
thank you, Fred and Mariah. What a blessing it is to hear about what God's got for us, amen, and where our heart's desire is, amen. Well, I'm glad that you're along with me on this voyage this year. We're talking all year about abiding in the ship. We've covered many ships, the discipleship, the fellowship, the stewardship, the relationship we've covered already, amen. Then ownership here at the bottom, we just finished up that one. Then over on this side, we've got the worship we've covered, amen, and the lordship is today, amen. How many want me to preach on the hardship next week? No, one, two, amen. They know not what hardship is yet, amen. No, we don't want the hardship, amen. The hardship, that's a tough ship to sail in, amen. We'll save that one for later on when we actually have a good day, amen. Well, you know, we're talking about the lordship here. And again, the definition for lordship is the unlimited authority of a sovereign or ruler. It's the one who has power or authority over something. And whether we know it or not, one day Jesus will exercise his lordship over everyone. One day he will do that, whether they like it or not. Right now, everybody is not acknowledging the lordship of Christ, but one day they will. Let me read you Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. It says this, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself." Who is this? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. "And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Verse 9. "Wherefore," or as a result of that, "God also hath highly exalted him," because he humbled himself, God's going to exalt him, "and given him a name which is above every name," verse number 10, "that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow." Notice that, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And verse 11 says, "and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is" who? "Lord, to the glory of God the Father." One of these days, everyone will cry out that Jesus is Lord. Today, the lordship of Christ is still voluntary, but one day it will not be. One day, Jesus Christ will assume his rightful place as Lord over this earth and this planet and over everybody. And guess what? They will abide in that ship or else. Amen. Today is not that day. Today you still have the voluntary privilege to make Jesus Christ Lord in your life. He's not going to force his lordship over you right now. You have the ability to choose Jesus, just like you have the ability to choose a job, ability to choose a wife, ability to choose a house, ability to choose a car. Amen. You have the ability to choose Lord as your Savior, Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen. One day, if you don't, it will be mandatory. Amen. Just like the mark of the beast one day will be mandatory if you're not saved. Amen. And so over the next few weeks, we'll discuss three key subjects. Number one, the problems in the lordship. The problems in the lordship. Say, "Preacher, there shouldn't be a problem in the lordship." They say that with Captain Bligh too, at Mutiny on the Bounty. Amen. But you see what happened there. The perplexity with the lordship. We're going to talk about that. Say, "Preacher, what could be perplexing about the lordship?" And then last of all, we'll talk about the possibilities in the lordship. If I get in this lordship, what can happen in this ship as I set sail? The problems in the lordship. Let's go, first of all, to the problems in the lordship. What could possibly be the problem in the lordship? Well, notice Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. You've got a red letter edition Bible. It's in red. He says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" So not only saying it once, they're saying it twice for double emphasis. I'm calling you Lord. I'm calling you Lord. He says, but you're not doing what I'm asking you to do. The fundamental problem in lordship is this. Many Christians want Christ as Savior, but not as Lord. Say that again. Many Christians want Christ as Savior, but not as Lord. "Oh, Lord, save me from hell. I don't want to go to hell. Oh, forgive me of my sins. I don't want to burn in hell for eternity." Then he saves us. "Okay, Lord, you can go now. You can go now. You rescued me. You can go now." The fundamental problem in lordship is many Christians want Christ as Savior, but not as Lord. Everybody wants to be saved from hell, but many don't want to be told what to do once Jesus saves them. Hey, what happened? Moses came to deliver the children from Israel. And as he went in there, they said, "Who made you a judge and a ruler over us?" "Moses, I'm just trying to set y'all free." "Who made you a judge and a ruler? Intendest to do what you did to the Egyptian, to me?" Wow. That's the mentality among some Christians now. "Well, Lord, save my soul, but leave the rest of me intact." It's similar to children that after all you've done for them as they get older, you want to help them and exercise some authority over their lives. And they come back and say, "Don't tell me how to live my life. Don't you tell me who to date. Don't you tell me how to parent and raise my kids. Don't you tell me how to do my work. Don't you tell me anything. You come into church. Don't you tell me I need to tithe. Don't you tell me I need to give. Don't you tell me I need to forgive. Don't you tell me I need to be submissive. Don't you tell me I need to love my wife. Don't you tell me I need to be obedient to my parents." On and on we could go. We want the privilege of being in the Saviorship, but we don't want the lordship. Oh, Lord, no, no. We don't want to be told what to do by Almighty God. That's the problem in the Lordship. This area of Scripture is Luke's account of the Sermon on the Mount. Notice verse number 27, he says down there. Matter of fact, go up to verse number 21. Matter of fact, go to verse 20. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed be ye poor." What is it, the Beatitudes? Verse 21. "Blessed are ye that hunger now." Verse 22. "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you." You come down here in verse 27. "But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies." What's this? This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Verse 28. "Bless them that curse you." Come down to verse number 35. "But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing again." Come down to verse 36. "Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful." Pastor White, verse 38, "Give and it shall be given unto you." Amen. "Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, Brother Duffy, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." Amen. The Sermon on the Mount is being recanted or cataloged here from Luke's perspective. And you come down here, he begins to talk about some things here in the next several verses. Verse 41, "Why beholdest thou the beam, the mote is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye?" He comes down here and he's detailing what the Sermon on the Mount detailed and held. And the Sermon on the Mount does not discuss how to get saved, but it does detail how the saved behave. Nowhere in here where you find this is how you get saved. What you find Jesus saying here, if you say you're saved, if you belong to me, if you've made a profession of Christ, then this is how you should behave. This is how you should behave. And so all the things that you see listed there in verse number 20 on down is the Sermon on the Mount detailing how the saved should behave. Come down to verse 45. "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. The evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." He says your heart is only going to allow you to speak what's really there. You're going to open up your mouth and your heart's going to come out sooner or later. You can dress it up. You can try to flash it up. You can do whatever you want to do. But sooner or later, the truth is going to come out. It might not come out around everybody, but sooner or later, the truth is going to come out. And that truth is coming from your heart. He says in verse 46, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not things I say?" He says, I gave you a catalog of things that the saved should do. I gave you behaviors of how the saved should act. I gave you all this information of how they should walk and talk and believe and love and give and forgive. And he says, now why call ye me Lord, Lord, and you're not doing what I'm asking you to do? Wow, Jesus, don't be so mean. He gives them a scenario in verse 47 as to what he just said. "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them." He said there's certain people up in verse 46 that they don't do the things which I say. But he says, "Whoever comes to me and hear my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like." Verse 48, "He's like a man who's building a house and dig deep, lay the foundation on a rock." That foundation, by the way, is none other than Jesus Christ. There is no other foundation but Jesus Christ. He is the rock, amen. He is the foundation. If you build it on anything else, it's shaky, shaky sand and sinking sand. He says, "And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it." Why? It was founded upon a rock. Let me tell you, friend, you can't shake Jesus, or you can't make Jesus, you can't bake Jesus, amen. He is not lost, amen, but he can be found. There is nothing that you can do to lose Jesus Christ once you are secured upon the rock, and he is your fortress, and he is your strength, and he is your buckler, and he is your shield, and he is your high tower. There is nothing, my friend, that you can do to shake that foundation. Say, preacher, what have I sinned? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us of all sin. So there is nothing you can do. Jesus said, if you want to hear my words, then you got to be sure you're founded upon that rock. That rock is Jesus. Verse 49, "But he that heareth and doeth not." What did he say in verse 46? "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which you say? But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation," I don't have anything, "I built my house upon the earth." He says he built a house upon the earth against which the stream did beat vehemently. We just had the hurricane came through there. It wasn't as bad as they thought. But guess what? If a bad hurricane comes through, it's going to wipe stuff out. And things that aren't built on a good foundation, it's going to get wiped out. But he says, you know what? These people that didn't do what I said to do, the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. It didn't fall in some time. Immediately it fell. When the going got tough, when the streams of life got rough, when the streams of life rose, when the streams of life were vehement upon it, it beat upon that life. And that life that was not on Christ immediately fell. It wasn't a slow process. It fell straight away. Why? You can't handle the pressures of life on your own. You can't handle the stress of life on your own. You were never meant to handle it on your own. That's why you have Jesus. But many folks will hear and won't do. And he says, when you hear and you don't do, you're calling me Lord, Lord, but you're not doing what I'm saying. And your house is immediately falling. I dare say it's fallen. And you got to build it back up. But you better make sure you build it upon the foundation. The foundation is Jesus. He says, and the ruin of that house was great. What's the picture? The picture is your house is your life. Your house is your life. And your life is either greatly ruined or it's either greatly established by the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the two. Say, preacher, what makes the difference? How you abide in the Lordship. How you abide in the Lordship. If he's Lord, Lord, then you got to do what he says. If you don't do what he says, then he's not Lord, Lord. Amen. It's either or. There is no gray area. He says, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? This is for your good. Jesus is saying, look, I don't need a house. I am the house. Amen. I don't need a foundation. I am the foundation. I don't need a rock. I am the rock. Amen. You need me. By the way, we need him. I need him. Children need him. Wives need him. Husbands need him. Bosses need him. Masters need him. Everybody needs him. Yes, Donald Trump needs him too. Say he probably needs him more than the rest of us. Amen. We all need him the same. So what are we talking about here? If Jesus is our Lord, then we must do as he states, or he's not our Lord. Is he our unlimited ruling authority or sovereign? By the way, sovereign is spelled S-O-V-E-R-E-I-N. Notice at the end, R-E-I-N. You know what that spells? Reign. So it means that he has rulership. He has authority. Sovereign means he is reigning. The verses in chapter 6, we should do, are listed there in 46, 47, 48 through 49. John 13, verse 13, he says it this way. Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. Amen. I like that. He said, you call me Master and Lord. He said, and you say, well, for so I am. And so the fundamental problem in the Lordship is that many Christians want Christ as Savior, but not as Lord. As this crowd is gathered towards Jesus and the Sermon on the Mount is going on and he's giving them instruction. He said, look, if you're calling yourself my disciple, if you're calling yourself saved by me, if you're calling yourself washed in the blood, let me tell you, this is how you ought to behave. He said, but some of you are calling me Lord. You're calling me Lord. And you're not doing the things that I say. I dare say Judas Iscariot was there. And I dare say he might have been eyeballing Judas Iscariot during that time. He might have been eyeballing somebody out in the crowd of the audience when he said that. But nonetheless, Judas Iscariot was there along with others. And he says, why call ye? Ye means you all. Why call you all me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? The number one problem in the Lordship is that we want him as Savior, but not as Lord. How about you today? Do you want him as Savior and Lord? If he's Lord, guess what? You got to do things that he says. And by the way, it's for your good. Jesus needs no help. He's not sick. He doesn't have a bad day. What Jesus listed here, starting in verse 20 all the way down, he said, this is not for my benefit. This is for your benefit. This is for you to do. This is how you can have a blessed attitude. This is how you can have a blessed spirit. This is how you can have blessed relationships. This is how you can be happy. He says, judge not, and you won't be judged. He said, how are you going to cast the beam, the mote out of somebody's eye when you got a beam in your own eye? He said, you can't do this. He said, give and it shall be given. He said, this is not for me. This is for you. This is for you. And so my first question is, there's a problem in the Lordship. How are you abiding in the ship today? Do you want him as only Christ, only as Savior, or do you want him as Savior and Lord? And that's a question only you can ask. Because if you say, I want him as Lord, then guess what? Verse 46 applies to you. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? If you're going to call him Lord, then you'll be 47. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. Who is he like, Lord? He's like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood rose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and it could not shake it because it was found. That's your life if you do what he says. That's the privilege of abiding in the Lordship. But friend, if you don't abide in the Lordship and you don't do what he says, you're going to be in that sinking ship in verse 49. Number one, problem in the Lordship. Christians want Christ as Savior, but not Lord. Number two, the perplexity within the Lordship. The perplexity. Say, preacher, what could possibly be perplexing with the Lordship of Christ? He's either Lord or he's not. Listen to me. The fundamental perplexity with the Lordship is many think they have Christ as Savior and Lord, and they don't. Let me say that again. Many think they have Christ as Savior and Lord, and they don't. Fundamental reason why some can't put God's words in order is because they don't know God. Amen. Getting quiet in here. The perplexing thing is that churches are full around the world, but the Christian number is less. The perplexing problem is people are calling him Lord, Lord, and he's not either Lord and he's not their Savior. The perplexing problem is a lot of people say that I'm saved, but they're not saved. And their ship is sinking. Their house is fallen. The streams beat upon it vehemently, and it's immediately fallen. They don't know how to get it back because they've never been born again. Preacher, I don't like that. You don't have to like it. It's true nonetheless. It's true nonetheless. The perplexity with the Lordship. Fundamental perplexity with the Lordship is many think they have Christ as Savior and Lord. There are many well-meaning people that are religious people. They attend church. They read their Bibles. They give money. They're kind outwardly. They do good works. They try to keep the Ten Commandments, but they are not born again. But they think they are, and they think they're actually working for God. Preacher, what are you talking about? Go in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And that's why this is so perplexing, because they think they are. They're doing all these things for God. I read my Bible. I go to church. I tithe. I'm kind to others. I'm trying to keep the Ten Commandments. Matthew chapter 7. The perplexity with the Lordship is many think they are. They have Christ as Savior and Lord, and they really don't, even though they're working for God. Notice chapter 7, verse 21. Notice what Jesus says about these people calling him Lord. Not everyone that saith unto me, what's the two words? Lord, Lord, shall enter into what? The kingdom of heaven, but who? He that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. What did he say over there? He says, hey, look, the one that hears my words, he says, I liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon the rock. He heard my words and he did what was necessary. He says, hey, here, he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, so enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Notice the next verse. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, I thought I was in the Lordship. I'm calling you Lord. I'm in the Lordship. I thought I'm abiding in the Lordship. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? We did some preaching and some teaching and some telling in your name. And the name cast out devils. We had power to cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful, what's that? Works. To do the works of God, let me interject this. To do the works of God, you must know the will of God. You can't do the work of God without knowing the will of God. To know the will of God, you must know the Word of God. You can't do the will of God nor the works of God without knowing the Word of God. And to know the Word of God, you must know the Son of God. Amen. You've got to know Jesus. Jesus is not going to give you privilege to read His Word. The only thing you'll understand is I must be born again. Amen. He is not obligated to give you any of His will because you cannot fulfill it without Him. You got to have His Spirit. You must be born again. Let me ask you the question, are you born again? Are you born again? You find the perplexing problem in the Lordship is people think they're in it and they're really not. And they can't understand why their life is not going somewhere. They can't understand why they're not productive for Jesus. They can't understand why they don't have joy serving God. They can't understand why they don't have joy listening to preaching. They don't understand why I can't have joy in doing that. Oh, I can do this singing. I can do these things. But when it comes down to just me and God, I don't have any joy at all. There's a problem with that. Every day with Jesus should be sweeter than the day before. Preacher, my life is ruined. Immediately, it fell. Immediately, it fell. When is your spiritual birthday? Do you have a place? Do you have a time? Did your life change inwardly? And does it reflect outwardly that you are born again? Because it should. It should. I don't know about you, when I got saved inwardly, I knew there was something different. I looked like the same old dirt bag on the outside, amen. My clothes hadn't changed when I got saved. Nothing about me changed when I got saved. I looked like the same old dirt bag on the outside, but inside of me felt clean. Inside of me felt new. Inside of me felt fresh. Inside of me felt like I was on cloud nine. I was floating. I felt so good. I thought, glory to God. The average person would look at me and say, you look like you just came from the club. Because I had the same clothes on that I wore to the club the previous night. And guess what? Inwardly, there was a change. Hey, if you are born again, inwardly, you change. And it began to reflect outwardly, oh, so little at a time. It didn't just, voila, I'm a brand new person. Look at me. Got my suit on. Got my shoes on. I got it going on now. I know how to walk for Jesus. It didn't happen like that for me. I stumbled and bumbled and fumbled. I bobbled. I got back up and did it all over again, but little by little, the inward change began to reflect outward, and people could see a difference. I go back to 1991 now when I first got saved in Belgium. I'm not the same person I used to be. That boy that got saved there when he was a little old lad there in his young 20s there sitting in that chair has changed over these years. There was an inward change there and it began to reflect outwardly. Trust me, if you knew me when I first got saved, you probably wouldn't have liked me. Amen. Jeff, the only one agree with that. Amen. The rest of y'all say, well, we would have liked you, preacher. No, you wouldn't have liked me. I didn't like me. So if I didn't like me, I can imagine what you did. My wife liked me. She loved me. Amen. She said, for better or worse, and it's like worse right now, amen. She didn't say that. For better or worse, richer or poor, you're pretty poor right now. Till death do we part, we're stuck until we're 86 years old. So I guess I got to stick it out. Good thing I got saved, amen. She probably would have kicked me. What am I saying? The perplexity with the Lordship is many things they are in it. Countless, numerous thousands and millions around the world think they're in it. And they're not. They're not. Notice what he says down in verse 23 of Matthew chapter number 7. After them saying, Lord, Lord, haven't we done these things? He says in verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now think about the gravity of that statement. I never knew you. I never had a relationship with you. This never happened. Never. Ever. Never. Like somebody calling you saying, hey, I'm your son. I never knew you. I never had a relationship with you. Hey, I'm your daughter. I never had a relationship with you. Never. You're not my child. Never. But Lord, we've done wonderful works. But Lord, we've done all these things. Lord, we prophesied your name. Lord, we've done all these things all for you. We know you. He says, I will profess to them. They never knew you. Those are going to be some of the saddest words throughout eternity. For people to live their entire life thinking they're in the Lordship, thinking that they are saved and working for God and giving for God and trying to be kind for God and trying to keep the Ten Commandments for God and trying to do all these things for God, only to find out at the last time when it's too late, I never knew you, depart from me. That's going to be the saddest words. That's going to be the saddest words. See, that's why this is so perplexing. Because many people want to be in the Lordship. But you only get in the Lordship by getting saved, by becoming born again. Not because you're baptized, not because you're a good person, not because you join the church, not because you read your Bible, not because you go to church, not because you give. All those are noble things, not because you were baptized. All those are great, noble things, but they do not get you to heaven. Casting out devils and doing great works and prophesying in his name doesn't get you to heaven. He says, I will profess he never knew you. He's saying, I never possessed a relationship with you. In Luke 13, 25, it reads like this. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. He shall answer and say to you, I know ye not whence ye are. I don't know about you, but if I heard something like that, and there was even a doubt, a fragment of a doubt in my mind, I'd get saved. There's just a fragment of my doubt, I'd get saved. The first 6 months of my life when I first got saved, I tell you, there was an inward change and it began to reflect outwardly, but the devil put thoughts in my mind that I wasn't saved. You know what I continued to do day after day after day? Lord, if I didn't make a genuine profession, if I didn't really repent, if I didn't do it right, Lord, save me today. I go down to the next day and something else would happen. I might look at something or say something. I say, Lord, maybe I'm not saved here. Lord, I really mean business. Lord, I want to get saved right now. If I'm not saved, save me. You know what happened? I didn't want to appear right here. I didn't want to appear here at all. I remember one day something had happened and I had sinned and I left the house and went into the garage and got down on my knees. I closed the garage door so my wife wouldn't see what I was doing. And one of them said, what are you on your knees for? I'm getting saved again. You know? And that's why I closed it. I went out to the garage there. And I said, Lord, I don't know what's going on here. My life just seems to be in shambles. And I'm making bad decisions. And I said I got saved here 2 months ago. But I keep going down the same road again. And keep doing the same things again. I must not be saved. Oh, Lord, please save me again. I'm in business today. And I did that countless, numerous times. Say, preacher, did you get more saved than you was the first time? Nope. Nope, didn't. But there was something in me that said, Lord, I don't like sin anymore, and it's getting all on me, and I don't want that. What's that? Hey, that's an inward change that was reflecting outwardly. I didn't want to be the same person that I used to be, and when I got remotely close to it, it gave me the heebie-jeebies. So I continued. My friend, I dare say, if you're doubting today, you probably need to get saved. If you're doubting today, you might not have Christ. If you're doubting today, you might not be in the Lordship. If you're doubting today, the last thing you want to hear is, I never knew you. I never knew you. Say, preacher, how can you know if you're born again or saved? Did you do what the Bible said? Did you see Jesus as Savior and as sovereign? He's got the authority. I don't know about you, but when I was under conviction in the church and I felt dirty, I felt naked, I felt alone. And although there was a church full of people, I felt like there was nobody in the church but me and preacher. My wife was sitting next to me and I didn't even feel her presence. All I felt was Almighty God and his holiness and his sovereignty. And he had the right to put me into hell because of my sin. How do I know if I'm born again? Did you see him as sovereign? Then second of all, did you see yourself in sin? Did you see that you were undone without Christ? If you didn't see yourself in sin, you can't get saved. Why are you going to get saved if you don't see yourself in sin?
You got to see the sovereign, and he will in turn show you your sin. In his light, you will be total darkness, and he will be total light, and you will be exposed, and you'll feel naked, alone, ashamed, abandoned, and neglected. But the love of God is just reaching out. In his light and in your darkness, he's extending mercy. Did you see him as sovereign? Did you see yourself as a sinner? And then did you see your situation? I saw mine. It was almost as if I could see hell opening up. It was almost as if I could see those flames coming on me. And I was frightened. I was genuinely scared as a 26, 27-year-old man. I was genuinely afraid. Say, preacher, I wasn't afraid. I ain't talking about you. I'm talking about me. I was genuinely afraid. I knew my sin. I saw my Savior. I saw myself. I saw my situation. I said, Lord, there's many times that I should have died and I should have gone to hell before in different situations, but you saved me. I don't want to go there. Did you see your situation? I saw my situation. I saw where I was going. Hey, people can say, Lord, Lord, but he said, hey, have you done the will of my Father, which is in heaven? He said, they're going to profess, hey, I don't know you. I don't want to hear that. I didn't want to hear that, and I got saved. I'm not in any fear of hearing that at all. Why? I was in fear of it back then when I got saved. And when I was in fear of it back then when I got saved, guess what? I got saved, and I'm not afraid of it anymore. Even though Satan had me doubt along the way. You got to see the Savior as sovereign. See yourself in sin. See your situation. Then you got to seek to be saved from it. There was no one else I could look to. I had looked to myself long enough. I had looked in that mirror. And as I looked in that mirror, I was disgusted by what I saw. I saw someone that could do me no good. Someone that couldn't help me. Someone that couldn't control his drinking. He couldn't control his drugs. He couldn't control his mouth. He couldn't control his life. He couldn't control anything about his life. And I was disgusted by who I saw. I said, I need help. I cannot help myself. And as I saw the Savior sovereign, and as he showed me my sin in his marvelous light, and as I saw my situation destined for hell, I sought help. I said, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. I can't save myself. I sought to be saved from my situation. I didn't want to go to hell. Say, preacher, give me some Bible. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Who am I calling on? The same Lord who wants me to be in his ship. The same Lord who's got the lordship. The same Lord who says there's problems with people calling me Lord, Lord. There's problems with that. The same ship that's so perplexing because some people think they have him and they don't have him. The same Lord who's got the ship. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How can you be saved? You need to see your sovereign Savior. You need to see yourself in sin. You need to see that situation as grave and it's going to take you to hell. And you need to seek that sovereign Savior to save you. Psalm 116 verse 13 says, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord. What am I saying? Fundamental perplexity with the Lordship is many think they have Christ as Savior and Lord, and they don't. So there's a problem in the Lordship. There are those that are in the ship. They want him as Savior, but not as Lord. And there's another problem. There's perplexity. There are those that think they're in the ship, but they're not even in the ship. So once you got those that are in the ship, and the problem is they don't want a Lord, they just want a Savior. There are those that think they're in the ship and trying to do the right thing, trying to do right, trying to live right, trying to do all, but they don't have the right relationship. And so everything they do is in vain. And one day, the perplexing thing will come. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Folks, I don't know about you. That scared me. Notice verse 23 again. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart me, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I don't know about you. I don't want to have that. Verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth the sayings of mine doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon rock. I don't know about you, but that's who I want to be. A wise man. built my house on rock. The foundation is Jesus. And today, if you're not saved, get saved. Preacher, what's the advantage? Verse 25, and the rain descended upon, verse 25, and the floods came. The winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. That life and that rock is on Jesus Christ. That's the one that saw the sovereign Savior. That's the one that saw themselves in sin. That's the one that saw the situation. That's when it sought to be saved. It says, and everyone, verse 26, that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. He built his house upon the sand. That's the one that said, haven't we done all these things? No. The rain descended, floods came, and winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. Great was the fall of it. I wonder, which of the two are you? Which of the two are you? Is your life founded upon the rock, Jesus Christ? If you die, are you sure you're going to heaven? Hey, friend, February 3rd, 1991, I didn't know. But then presented to me was a sovereign Savior. Presented to me was him showing me myself in light of his holiness. Presented to me was my situation. And I was afraid. And I said, I don't want that. I see this. I see that. I want to go where you're at. I don't want to go down there. And you're not saved here today. You need to get saved. It's possible that your life is in the shape that it's in because you're not in the Lordship. And if you're in the Lordship, it's possible that you're saying, I'm in it, but I'm not going to do what you say. And then you got to ask the question, are you really in it? We're going to look at possibilities next week. We're going to look at responses to the Lordship. You and I respond in several different ways once we get in the ship. But you got to make sure you're in the ship first. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, get in the ship. Get in the ship. Get your life founded upon the rock. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friend, the one thing that you don't want is to have ringing in your ear on judgment day, I never knew you. And the rest is equally as bad. Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. That means you spent your life sinning. When Jesus Christ died for your sin, he said, ye that work iniquity, you've been working iniquity since the day you were born. I had the remedy in Jesus Christ, and you tried it your own way. Depart from me, ye that work. I never knew you. But for those that have given their life to Jesus Christ, founded upon a rock, that rock is Jesus. I invite you today, if you're not saved, make sure you're saved. The fundamental perplexity with the Lordship, many think they have Christ as Savior Lord, and they don't. Fundamental problem is those that get in the ship don't want to be told what to do. Father, thank you so much for your love. Thank you for saving me, Lord, and showing me myself one day. And thank you, Lord, for letting me see a sovereign Savior. Thank you for allowing me to see myself in sin. And my situation was hopeless. Thank you for allowing me to seek to be saved from it. Lord, all across this auditorium, maybe there's one that needs to do the same thing that I did. Lord, I pray for that man, that woman, that boy or girl that's perplexed about this idea of the Lordship of Christ. Perhaps they've never called on you to be saved. You said, whosoever shall call upon me, Lord, to be saved. They've got to see you sovereign. They've got to see you sinless, and they've got to see themselves in sin. They've got to see their situation as hopeless without your intervention. May God seek to be saved. And Lord, so bless now this invitation. Help Christians that are abiding in the ship to continue to hold. And Lord, to make sure they're not guilty of hearing and not doing, but make sure they're guilty of hearing and doing. Bless now this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm looking around just for a moment. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, I can identify with you. I sat where you sat February 3rd, 1991. in my chair, hoping that I would never hear those words. I never knew you. But I did something. I said, I want to do something about it. If you're here today and you're not sure that heaven is your home, why don't you do something about it? Why don't you let me pray for you first, but then why don't you come down to an old-fashioned altar and let us take a Bible and show you how you can be sure. That's what I did. How you can be sure that heaven is your home. The last thing you want is to hear, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. You need to be saved. You need to be saved. There's a perplexity about that because millions around the world think they are in this lordship, and they're not. So perhaps you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and say, preacher, I need to be saved. Well, can you show me how to be saved? And every head is bowed and every eye is closed, no one looking around. And say, preacher, I've got some doubts about my salvation. Would you remember me in prayer? I want you to raise your hand right where you're at. I'm not going to come and point you out. Amen. I see one hand. You may put it down. Anyone else? Okay, I see that hand. You may put it down. Anyone else? Say, I got some doubts. I want to be sure, but I got some doubts. Okay, I see that hand. You may put it down. Anyone else? Got some doubts. I understand. I was that way too. Hey, it's better to be safe than to be sorry. Anyone else? Say, preacher, I got some doubts. I'm not sure. I don't want to hear I never knew you. I don't want to hear that. Anyone else? Christian, how about you? Jesus said, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Are you obedient to the Lord? I hope you are. But you know what you need to do? Keep short account. When you're not, confess it. Ask God to forgive you and continue going on. Father, bless now these that raise their hand. And I pray they would let us give them the opportunity. They would give us the opportunity to show them how they can be sure they're saved today. They can leave here never having to worry about those words, I never knew you. And they would get secured their salvation. Help us as Christians, Lord, to do the things that you say, not to call Lord, Lord, and do not, but to call Lord, Lord, and do that which is right. Thank you so much for loving us. Bless now this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's all stand to our feet just for a moment. You know, you raise your hand, you want to get some things settled. Why don't you come down to an old-fashioned altar as the music plays? There'll be Christians coming. We'll have someone to help you. You're a man, we'll get a man to help you. You're a woman, get a woman to help you. We want to help you to make sure that it's right. As Natasha plays, why don't you come today? Let us take a Bible and show you how you can be sure that heaven is your home. It won't take but a moment of your time. But if you're doubting, the last thing you want to hear is, I never knew you. I never knew you. How about it? You raise your hand. You say, I'm not sure. I'm a Christian. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. But I want to make sure. I want to make sure. I can't come to you, but you can come to me and say, preacher, would you show me how I can be sure I'm going to heaven? I'd like that. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking around. Man, woman, boy, or girl, matters not who you are. If you mean business with God, I sat where you sat. I was afraid. Step out. Step out. I'll meet you. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Would you like to know? Would you like to know? Perplexing. Many think they're in there. He says, I never knew you. Perplexing. How about it? Don't know about you, but I never want to hear that. Never want to hear that. How about it? Christians are praying. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Last thing you want to hear, oh, don't let pride hold you back. Preacher, I thought I was saved. He says, not everyone saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many previously have thought they were saved. Oh, friend, don't be caught in that trap. Hey, I went to church thinking that I was okay. I was keeping the Ten Commandments best I could. But inside, I knew I was dark. Inside, I knew my heart was black. Inside, I knew that I was not doing what God wanted me to do. No one had to tell me that. I knew that I wasn't right, but I thought that I could make a deal with God and say, God, here's my very best. And he pointed me to the cross and said, there's my best. There's my best, Jesus Christ. Friend, don't try and do it yourself. Don't think that you can be good enough, give enough, not sin enough. Jesus died upon the cross, he said, it is finished. Tetelestai, it's done. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. How about it? How about it, Christian? Problem with lordship, we want to be in it, but we don't want to be told what to do. Perplexity, many think they're in it, they're really not. Where are you at today? Christian, maybe you need to pray for someone today that's struggling with the lordship of Christ in their life. Maybe you need to pray for yourself in the lordship of Christ. We're going to look at some ways we can respond next week. And oh, you'd be amazed at some of the responses of some godly people. Be surprised. Because we're in it. Then Jesus Christ is Lord. We're in it. He's the ruler. And we're in it. He's sovereign. And we're in it. He's the leader. We're the follower. We're in it. He's the head. We're the tail. If we're in it, he calls the shots. We just put the target out there. Problems, perplexity of the lordship of Christ. Father, we thank you so much for loving us. Lord, I pray that you would continue to allow us to see what Jesus is saying about the lordship and to make sure that we are in the ship, that we have you as Savior first. And then we, Lord, allow your lordship in our lives. Help us not to be guilty of saying, Lord, Lord, and then doing not what you ask. Lord Jesus, help us where we struggle. Many of us do not the things that you say. And the reasons will vary. But Lord, help us where we're wrong to confess it and get right with thee and say, Lord, I did not do what you said, but now I'm doing it. Help us to build on that rock, and that rock is Jesus. Help these that have raised their hands and saying they're not sure, help them to make dead level sure that they're on the foundation of Christ, a rock. The rest of us, Lord, help us to leave here with a cognizance of mind to ask the question that Jesus asked, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Help us to be consciously aware of that fact. Work in our minds, work in our hearts, save those that need to be saved. Encourage us as Christians to keep a right relationship with thee. Lord, thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a couple of quick announcements. We are still setting up across the hallway. So men, if you can help us out with that, and young men, if you can help us out getting set up across the hallway, I appreciate that. And also men on the credenza out there by the television over on the side there is a sign-up sheet for the men's devotion. Please sign up and say what you're going to bring for the fellowship this Saturday. It is at 7:30 Lakeside Park, Ramada 6. It's right there in your bulletins. Ladies, be prepared to make some calls next Saturday. There won't be any organized visitation, but make some anniversary calls inviting friends, family, and coworkers out for the 17th. We're looking forward to that. Also, if you'd like to give for the security fence offering, we're trying to get some barbed wire on the west side fence over there. You can donate to that. Just mark on the offering envelope other security fence. We've had some problems with some of the neighbor children hopping the fence, coming over into our property and doing some things that they shouldn't do. So if you'd like to give towards that, that'd be a blessing. And as soon as we get $1,600, we'll go ahead and get that installed. And so you pray about that. And if you want to give towards that, please do give towards that. And that would be a blessing and an encouragement. Amen. Brother Duffy, I want you to ask the Lord's blessing on our dismissal. Ladies, don't forget, if you're singing with Miss Antoinette, she's going to be meeting up with you here in just a few minutes after we get done. So, Brother Duffy, if you can lift your voice up for us, I'd appreciate that. Here,